From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
's broadcast. The KOSPI gains more than 6% to break the 7,000 mark for the first time. U.S. President Donald Trump calls an abrupt halt to Project Freedom and again accuses Iran of attacking a South Korean cargo ship. And North Korea revises its constitution to reflect leader Kim Jong-un's two-state doctrine while removing provisions related to reunification. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Eileen Cahill. The benchmark Korea Composite Stock Price Index surged more than 6% on Wednesday to close above the 7,000 mark for the first time ever. According to the Korea Exchange, the index jumped 447.57 points, or 6.45%, to finish at 7,384.56, marking the second largest daily gain on record. The biggest increase remains the 490.36-point rise recorded on March 5th. A surge in the KOSPI 200 futures briefly triggered a buy-side sidecar for the first time in about a month. It took about 70 days, or 47 trading sessions, for the index to climb from the 6,000 milestone reached on February 25th to surpass 7,000. The tech-heavy KOSDAQ fell 0.29%, to close at 1,210.17. In the wake of an explosion on a South Korean vessel stranded in the Strait of Hormuz, U.S. President Donald Trump has again accused Iran of attacking the cargo ship. And after days of pressuring South Korea to join its efforts to restore safe passage in the vicinity of the critical waterway, Trump has called an abrupt halt to Project Freedom, the U.S. campaign to free stranded ships. Kim Bum-soo has the latest.
By the way, their ship was shot at. They were not in the cavalcade of ships.
Speaking to reporters at the White House on Tuesday, Trump was apparently referring to the 38,000-ton HMM Namu from South Korea, which caught fire after an explosion in the Strait of Hormuz on Monday.
They decided to go it alone, and their ship got the hell knocked out of it yesterday. But they didn't shoot the ships that were guarded by us, I'll tell you that. We knocked down a lot of missiles.
Seoul officials intend to investigate to determine the cause of the explosion when the vessel arrives at the port of Dubai, including whether the ship was attacked. The incident followed an announcement from the U.S. that it would guide stranded ship through the waterway and a subsequent warning from Iran not to attempt to transit the strait without permission.
We're in contact with that ship.
During a news conference Tuesday, U.S. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth blamed Iran for actions he labeled indiscriminate.
It's a reflection of the indiscriminate nature of what Iran is doing. We hope South Korea would step up, just like we hope Japan would step up, just like we hope Australia would
step up. He urged South Korea and other U.S. allies to join the efforts to secure navigational freedom in the region, but the situation soon got even more confusing for the nearly 2,000 vessels stranded in the region since the war started. Just a short while after Hegseth's remarks, Trump said on Truth Social that the operation to reopen the strait will be temporarily suspended to see whether a deal can be signed with Iran. Kim Bum-soo, KBS World Radio News.
North Korea has revised its constitution to reflect leader Kim Jong-un's two-state doctrine, including a new territorial clause defining sovereignty over only the northern part of the Korean Peninsula and removing provisions related to reunification. According to the North's revised constitution, disclosed at a press briefing for the Ministry of Unification Press Corps on Wednesday, all references to inter-Korean kinship and national reunification have been removed. A clause calling for achieving reunification based on independence, peaceful reunification, and national unity has been deleted, along with references in the preamble that Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il worked to achieve reunification. A newly added territorial clause defines the country's domain as bordering China and Russia to the north and South Korea to the south, though specific land and maritime boundaries were not detailed. While the revision broadly reflects the two-state framework, it does not explicitly designate South Korea as a hostile state, despite Kim's earlier remarks calling for such language. A day ahead of a plenary vote on a motion to revise the country's constitution, President Lee Jae-myung has called on the National Assembly to act promptly and pursue change one step at a time. Presiding over a cabinet meeting on Wednesday, Yi said the Constitution has been in its current form for the past 40 years or so and is no longer adequate to ensure a healthy democracy, decent living conditions, or a bright future for the nation. The president suggested what he called a practical approach, amending the Constitution little by little, saying a complete overhaul would be burdensome in the face of conflicting political interests. Referring to the existing motion, which stipulates that the president must obtain parliamentary consent before declaring martial law, Yi said no member of the general public would oppose this provision. The president also said references in the proposed preamble to the Constitution to the spirit of the 1980 Gwangju pro-democracy movement and the 1979 Busan-Masan pro-democracy uprising would face little opposition from either side of the political aisle. The leader of the main opposition, People Power Party, has reaffirmed his opposition to a proposed constitutional amendment ahead of a parliamentary vote. After meeting with National Assembly Speaker Woo Won-sik on Wednesday, PPP Chairman Jang Dong-hyuk told reporters that respecting and upholding the existing constitution is more important than revising its provisions. The Assembly Speaker visited Jang to seek cooperation ahead of a parliamentary vote on the partial constitutional bill set for Thursday. Jang said that in the meeting, he made clear the party's stance against the amendment, arguing that it is inappropriate to discuss constitutional revision when the ruling party is pursuing an unconstitutional special counsel bill aimed at erasing the crimes of President Lee Jae-myung. Jang stressed that those who do not respect the spirit of the Constitution have no grounds to pursue amendments, adding he rejected the speaker's call for the party to take a more cooperative stance. Rival parties have clashed over a special counsel bill to investigate allegations of groundless indictments under the Yoon Suk-yeol administration. During a plenary session of the Parliamentary Judiciary Committee on Wednesday, the ruling Democratic Party says the bill aims to investigate alleged prosecutorial misconduct, while the main opposition People Power Party argued it is intended to justify dropping charges against President Lee Jae-myung. Democratic Party lawmaker Jeon Hyun-hee said opposing the special counsel is equivalent to blocking a criminal investigation, adding that abuse of prosecutorial power appears to be involved and it should be examined by a special counsel. She added that if people were victimized by wrongful investigations and indictments, charges should be withdrawn and the state should provide compensation. People Power Party lawmaker Na Kyung-won, however, criticized the bill as unconstitutional, urging the justice minister to persuade President Lee to scrap it and to call for a veto if it passes parliament. The presiding judge in former First Lady Kim Kun-hee's appeals trial has been found dead. Police found the body of Judge Shin Jong-ho at about 1 a.m. Wednesday on a flower bed outside the Seoul High Court after receiving a report around midnight. A handwritten suicide note was reportedly discovered in his clothing, conveying an apology but making no reference to the trial. Police are investigating the exact cause of death, but said there were no signs of foul play and they believe he died from a fall. Judge Shin presided over Kim's appellate trial in the Seoul High Court, sentencing her to 4 years in prison and a 50 million won fine last week for offenses including stock manipulation and bribery in a case linked to the Unification Church. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. This is Eileen Cahill.